Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hannifin. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing outstanding, my man. It is Stephon Castle Day here at Hoops Profile. If anybody has seen any of my draft prep, they knew from the very beginning I've been saying months and months and months and months before the draft that Stephon Castle was my number one overall pick on my big board. Not saying he was going to go number one, but he was my best player in that draft class, in my opinion. So I'm excited to talk about him. Before I do that, I just wanted to give a big shout out and thank you to all of our subscribers. We're up to over 4,700 strong. Our next goal is to hit 10,000 by the end of next draft. That's an ambitious goal. We don't have to hit it, but I'll be pleasantly surprised if we do. Big shout out to you guys. Thank you to all of our channel members. It's only $2.99. If you like the content, want to get special badges and emotes, get access to all of our videos early, like the one that came out a half hour ago on one McKenzie Mbako. That's it. It's McKenzie Mbako. He is going to be my way too early steal of the draft. So check that video out. Leave me a comment and let me know what you think of that. You can find me on as Digital Adele under that moniker on all the social media platforms, including Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, any of that stuff. Also find me on Five Reasons Sports Network. I'm a contributor there. playback.tv/5RSN, as well as their off-the-floor Discord. What about you, Matt? Where can the people find you and follow you and get more of your work?
At MPH_824_, that's where you can find me at on Twitter to see all my bad tweets or great tweets, depending on your perspective. I'm not on Blue Sky yet. Again, I've said that before. I don't know when I'm going to hop on, but I'm still not there yet. But you can find me at hotlinehoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, watchplayback.tv/5RSN, where Adele, myself, and plenty of others from the Five Reasons Sports Network will talk Miami Heat, watch Miami Heat games, no matter how depressed they make us. Or at least nowadays, we're just going to talk about Jimmy Butler trade rumors, because that's what the kids are talking about nowadays. So, yeah, man, I'm everywhere.
Trade rumors, you say? Mm-hmm. Could this San Antonio Spurs team that wants to contend as soon as possible possibly be interested in a gently used Jimmy Butler?
I haven't created a burner account yet, but if you want me to start floating Jimmy Butler for Stephon Castle, I'm more than happy to indulge in that. But I need your permission first.
It would never happen, but do it. Yeah, the Spurs are letting go. Have you heard the way Stephon Castle is talked about by Chris Paul in the media?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've never seen a vet so effusive in their praise of a rookie that's only like 19 years old. I mean, that guy like gushes about Stephon Castle. And Chris Paul isn't known for his sunny disposition most of the time either. So he's a good dude, but he's never really like, oh yeah, this guy's great on my team. Like, he's a great young guy. Yeah. Nah, dude, he's been.
No, go on.
No, he's just been completely effusive. Like, he's like, man, I know I need to stop talking about this kid, but I just can't stop talking about this kid.
It kind of reminds me of him with Shea.
Oh yeah.
When he came to the league. Cause yeah. I think it was like kind of a similar sentiment, if I recall that correctly.
No, yeah, you're right about that.
Because Shea was, I think, in his second year when Paul was in OKC, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a rookie, but he was still like a young player. Like,
yeah.
He got traded over. He was still like, you know, maturing into his body, maturing into his like skill and whatnot. Like, obviously you saw the potential in, when he was in with the Clippers.
No doubt.
But it kind of reminds me of that. I know a little bit of a different situation, but that's just kind of like what I get reminded of. And that's kind of why I like the Castle. I mean, I know we're kind of leapfrogging into this, but like that's kind of why I like Castle and San Antonio from the onset.
Absolutely.
I liked it even more so after. I know the draft was before the free agency period, but like I loved Chris Paul signing in there, and I liked Stephon Castle obviously in that structure with Pop, with like, you know, in that kind of system. And then obviously you get Chris Paul there, and it's just like now you have like one of the best, you know, point guard, or as some would say, point god, mentors, like really in the 21st century or in like basketball history. Like it, that Chris Paul is that well respected within his peers. And so, no, I love this fit for Castle. I love this fit for Chris Paul. I think Stephon Castle is going to be Chris Paul is so good for him, just so you can pick his brain and learn from him. In addition to Chris Paul and Stephon Castle getting to play with Wemby too.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick step back and kind of talk about our film study journey on how we got here before we got to the NBA, when he was terrorizing people at UConn as a freshman. This kid absolutely popped off the tape, man. Popped off the tape from the moment I saw him, outside of that first game where Kadari Richmond torched him, because Kadari Richmond is just so unorthodox, and he's a very good player, and it just took Steph a time or two to figure him out. But after that, that kid, man, he was just lights out, both ends of the floor. And one of the things that made me laugh the whole draft process was people saying, he's not a point guard, he can't handle the ball, and this and that. And the big thing people didn't really realize that don't study this stuff is that he is a point guard. He's a point guard all the way in high school and in college and at UConn, he handled the ball a lot, but they had a lot of veterans, but you know, seniors and things like that on that UConn team, like Cam Spencer and Tristan Newton, they had to do a lot of the ball handling as well. And so he didn't really get as many opportunities. But when he did, you could see the maturity in his game, the patience, the poise, the strength and power he goes with going to the rim. And also the thing that really solidified him to be the best player on my big board was his defensive capabilities. The fact that he's as big as he is, as strong as he is, and he gets down into a stance, navigates screens, has great bend and ankle flexion to get around screens. And he never complains. He could do all the dirty work as well as, you know, be that bright star that they needed. So that was what I saw on tape and that I loved about him. What did you see on tape? Did you have anything you wanted to add, or did you want to go straight to what you've seen in the NBA with him and Wemby?
No, like you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, even though his efficiency was down at UConn, as his efficiency so far has been somewhat down in the NBA. Like you're seeing him turn the corner a little bit. Like you're seeing a little bit more of a like consistency in that range as well. But just how poised he is, how strong he is. Like you talked about it. Like there'd be so many times last year at UConn where he was guarding one of not the best perimeter player every single time. He was doing it well. But I think that speaks to like his skill set. And like how like he's willing to take on that challenge and his kind of mentality. And to your point, like the physical measurables were all there. The athletic measurables were all there. Like he was a really, really like well-rounded prospect outside of, again, some shooting concerns, but I didn't have much of a doubt that wouldn't come around just based on his form. And even so far in the NBA, like he's shooting nearly 75% from the free throw line. Like it's not, I know his three-point shooting is below 30% right now, and I don't expect it to be there the entire season. Like, it might be in the low 30s when it's all said and done, but just the way he carries himself, like, he's second in scoring, for rookies in scoring. He leads in assists. Like, he's a good rebounder for his position. Like, he, again, you and I have talked about it off here, but that game where he was defending Steph, like, he was chasing Steph all around the floor. He was making it tough on him. Like, that's the stuff that you want to see. And you're seeing that out of a rookie. Like, it's not like you're seeing that out of, like, a, you know, 3 to 5 year veteran. Right? Like, you're seeing that out of a rookie within the first 20 games of his career. That's just not something that you see very often and you see someone do at a really high level. In addition to all the other parts of his game that make him him.
Absolutely. He had Steph in jail, man. Steph was like, it's the regular season. I'm too old for this. Wait, let's just back off a little bit, dude. He was in his jersey flying around screens. He was a nightmare. You could see halfway through that game. I wouldn't say halfway, but in the fourth quarter where Steph was just like, okay, kid, enough. He was just worn out from how, because the thing that the average and casual fan do not really take into account. Yes, you can get hounded. There's really athletic people. There's really like smart, high IQ defenders. But none of them, not most of them that can move like that aren't that big. Steph is a legit 6'6", super long arms, but strong as a bull as well. So when he hits you, you feel it. And he's only 18, 19 years old. So that's not your typical rookie. Worst draft class ever. That's what everybody said. No, just kidding. It's not. If you actually study the tape and you study the prospects, this draft class is way better than people gave it credit for. It's going to take 3 to 4 years for it all to play out for us to confirm all that. But you can just see the impacts that are being made. I was really surprised in this draft to kind of pivot off of Castle that the Spurs had so many picks, but they only ended up taking two people. Like, and I guess that goes into wanting to load up on this next class, the 2025, 2026 classes. I get that. It's a smart move, but there were still pieces in this draft that they would have been able to get that I just think would have made them even better this season. Now, depending on where these picks are in 2025 and 2026, they may have made the right call. But if you will, would you consider them keeping one of those picks and they would have got one Eve Misi as well to put alongside Victor Wembanyama? And they just played a couple of days ago and freaking Misi was playing out of his mind for a rookie. He played really, really well in that game. And he's played really well all season, to be honest. He's got his limitations. Like, he's not like a super polished prospect, but his potential, what he can do already, the athleticism, the size, the quick feet, just were all on full display. So what are your thoughts on if they could have added another piece, or do you think they made the right call in waiting?
I was kind of surprised. I mean, a little surprised is the right word, that they traded the number 8 overall pick for a 2031 swap. I would have liked to see them, maybe swing for some upside or at least add to it a little bit. Like, I'm just scrolling names. Like, obviously, Misi's one that you mentioned. I don't know if they would have done that in the top 10, but, like, again, you're swinging for some semblance of upside. Like, you have two right. first-round picks. You have two bites at the apple. And you already took Stephon Caster, who, again, was a consensus top 5 player. He was number 1 on your big board. Like, they could have maybe, like I'm just scrolling through the names. Like, Cody Williams comes to mind, maybe. Connect comes to mind. Like, if considering how much he was like a consensus top 10, like, you just add that shooting. Obviously, DeSilva was a guy that I liked a lot. I know I floated that around, throughout the pre-draft process. Like, okay, well, like, what if San Antonio does this? Like, they get, they get upside with Castle at 4. Like, why don't they swing for it here? More of like a veteran, heady veteran. Like, I'm trying to think of like a few other names. Like maybe Buzelis.
Maybe.
I don't think they would have done Edie or Ware.
No.
Just to could you imagine for a second Zach Edey and Victor Wembanyama together? Like, just think about that. Yeah. 2-7-5 Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of crazy to see, but also they just have the same problem they have with Zach Collins, and he'd just foul out and be on the bench, and they really wouldn't get production. I mean,
listen, man, you have 6 fouls to eat up in 20 minutes.
That's right. In 20 minutes.
you got to use 6 of them. Have your game plan every game. Just have Zach Collins or Zach Edey foul out. Like, right. You got 6 to use, man. Spacing wouldn't be great though.
Spacing would be down horrendous. And it would be down
them
horrendous.
In the pick and roll, like defending that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily love. I mean, we know how good Wemby is defensively, just with the shot blocking and how long he is. But I don't think I would have loved that all that much. But it's a fun thought for a second, right?
Yeah, it's a cool exercise. I mean, anytime you're talking about the dinosaur. That is Zach Edey. It would have been fun to pair him next to Victor Wembanyama, but I just don't think it would be conducive to winning basketball games. The thing about Steph Castle, too, that I wanted to get back to when we talked about his lack of efficiency, his three-point shot is decent. It's not great. His form is a little weird because of his base. But what happens is because he exudes so much energy and effort on the defensive end, no matter what kind of shape you're in, I just think as a rookie, you don't realize how big of a grind the NBA is. And I think his legs are just gassed because of how much he does on the defensive end. That's my take on his shooting efficiency issues in the league. But he's going to clean a lot of that stuff up. He's going to get better. One other thing I wanted to point out is that, do you remember who they traded the number 8 pick for?
Rob
Dillingham. That's right. The historically small guard, Rob Dillingham. And the one thing about Rob, where he's at, I think he's in a good situation to learn the game. So if he is going to find a way to be successful, I mean, that was a good move for him. But in 11 games, he's averaging 3.8 points. 1.5 assists. I think. Hold on. Do I have the right stats? Yeah, 3.8 points. 1.5 assists. To 1.1 turnover. So his assist to turnover ratio is terrible. His 3-point three-point percentage is okay, but that's on 0.5 attempts. Or I mean 1.1 attempts. His field goal percentage, he's only attempting 3 shots. So, like, just the sample size is so small. He's just a historically small guard. I think it would have been a horrible fit in San Antonio. So I think they were right to trade that pick. I just don't think he was the guy to pair with Steph Castle.
Something also to take into account. The Spurs front office is very interesting. They're I don't want to say they might be like the pioneer of this, but this has been a team that has continued stacking swaps.
Right.
And that's something that, like, teams are more willing to give up swaps and trades because, it's a swap. It's not protected by the stepping rule, which is you can't trade your own first-round picks in back-to-back years.
Right.
Like, this is something – this is kind of like a new age of thinking that they've kind of – I'm going to say pioneer because I don't know if another team's doing it, at least to the extent that they are. Like, just looking at it right now. They have 5 upcoming swaps, all in the first round. They have 2026 from the Hawks, unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
2028 from the Celtics, which is probably just going to be their own pick because the Celtics are probably going to be at the back end of the first round, most likely.
Right.
The Mavericks in 2030. The Timberwolves in 2030, which is the pick they got. And then they got the Kings 2031 unprotected pick in the DeMar DeRozan 3-team sign-in trade, which – I've been on multiple places saying, like, I don't know why Sacramento just did that. Like, they were just so willing to give up a swap to a team that didn't even have DeMar DeRozan, or to a team that didn't most recently have DeMar DeRozan. And so that just thought that was, like, I'm surprised, or more so surprised Chicago wasn't like, yo, like, I'll take that swap. But I don't think they have that kind of new age thinking, or at least not yet, of like, you know, swaps can be somewhat valuable in years to come. And they're like, if these teams are bad, like if Dallas is bad in 2030, if Minnesota's bad in 2030, if Sacramento with Sabonis, and obviously we know the rumors with Fox and whatnot, like if
right.
DeMar DeRozan's gonna be retired by 2031. So like if they're bad, like, well, guess what? You might have a top, you know, you might have a lottery pick, you might have a top 10 pick, or even a top 5 pick if they're really, really, really bad.
Right.
And so, like, this is very interesting what they're doing with Wembanyama, because it's like they might be stacked in, you know, however many years. Like, they might be one of the best teams in the West, you know.
What year is that Atlanta pick? Is that 2025?
26.
That's 2026. Okay. So they only have one pick in 2025.
This is something that not many teams around the league, at least that I know of, are doing. And it's like, you're kind of taking advantage of other teams in the market, because
yeah,
like, oh yeah, I'll give you, it's not an outright first round pick, but yeah, I'll give you a swap.
Yeah.
Well, that swap can come back to bite you if something happens. A lot can happen between now and 2030 with the Timberwolves. A lot can happen
absolutely
now and 2031 with the Kings or with the Mavericks. Maybe not as much with the Hawks, but the Hawks are like a mediocre team in the East.
Well, look at the Kings' record right now. Yeah, look at the Kings' record right now. They're not
right.
Going very well in a
fun. So it's like, I kind of prefaced earlier by saying, like, I was surprised that they did it so willingly, because it's a top 10 pick.
Right.
But if you're looking at what they're kind of doing and like the kind of flexibility they're trying to maintain, like, it's not that surprising.
No. And you look at what the Kings probably thought to themselves, we've been in the playoffs. De'Aaron Fox is on the rise. We have Sabonis. They had no idea that the bottom could possibly fall out like it did. That's my personal opinion. And so the Spurs could be in an unbelievable position to have Stephon Castle, you know, Victor Wembanyama, and then whoever in the 2026 draft, not to mention whoever in this 2025 draft, which is absolutely loaded. I mean, incredibly loaded with talent. The 2025 draft, even if it's not a lottery pick, if it's in the top, you know, 20, top 25, wherever, even the top 30, it's going to be somebody really, really good.
If you have a first round pick, you're getting a good player.
You're getting a good player. That's exactly right. So if we're talking the 2025 draft, right? We talked about how Tankathon isn't really great at their big boards, but I just want to read you. Huh?
They'll adjust it.
But Mackenzie Mbako is number 34 overall, just below your favorite player in college, Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right. No? That's bad?
No comment.
No comment? But anyway, so here's the exercise I wanted to do.
Listen, man, don't disrespect future 10-year All-Star, 10-year All-NBA honoree, Ryan Kalkbrenner. Oh, sorry, did I just say that out loud? My apologies. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, your inner thoughts are creeping 10-time out.
10-time All-Star, yeah.
Yeah, your inner thoughts are creeping out. Oh, 10-time All-Star in NBA 2K. Oh, I got it. He's good at video games. But so pick 18, right, potentially could be Boogie Fland, who's one of my favorite point guards in this draft, to supplant Chris Paul once he decides to hang him up. They have the kid from Spain. They've got JT Toppin. They've got your favorite Broom from Auburn.
Janai Broom.
Yeah, Janai, John I, Joan, who? Alex
Sierra.
Alex Carabin, Cam Jones, Jahlil Bethea, and Mackenzie Mbako at 34. So there's players all up and down the board, even if they don't make the lottery. If they make the lottery, watch out. That's all I'm saying. Watch the freak out.
Outside of their swap, do we know if they have any like other picks?
Well, they have the ability to move, though. This gives them the flexibility to trade up, right? That's the thing. So, for example, they have, a second round pick. They've got Chicago's second round pick for 2025. And then they have in 2026, they have their own first round pick and Atlanta's first round pick.
Right.
So they can move up if they're so inclined. And if somebody's willing to dance.
This goes back to the Cooper Flag conversation you and I had. What episode was that?
I don't recall.
What are we talking about again?
We talk about Cooper Flag a lot around here.
That's a good point.
But
how many picks are you willing to
fork over? Oh, yeah. How many picks would you give up for Cooper Flag? That's a great one. Cooper Flag, Victor Wembanyama, Steph Castle. Yikes. Not happening. No, nobody's giving up on Cooper Flag. I just don't see it.
Could you imagine? Oh, wait, no. Or even like next year, like, could you imagine if like the Hawks are just bottom out and then they just land AJ?
Be crazy. Yeah, that'd be crazy. But let me ask you this, though. Say they got into the lottery, the Spurs were still talking.
They have an unprotected pick from Atlanta. Go on.
Imagine if they got an Ace Bailey. Shot-making ability of an Ace Bailey. So they don't even have to get Cooper Flag. Ace Bailey's shot-making is an elite skill today. That will translate to the NBA regardless. People have tried to compare him to the young kid out of last year's draft, the center. It's a good shot. Tyler Smith. He's nothing like Tyler Smith.
He's not. He's not Tyler Smith.
No, not even close. His shot-making ability is elite. It's elite. He has a lot of warts. Like, there's things he needs to improve. But if the Spurs got somebody like Ace Bailey in the 2025 draft, oh my goodness.
6'5" Ace Bailey. No.
Yeah, that's right. He keeps shrinking. He keeps shrinking.
Yeah, he keeps shrinking in my eyes.
Right.
No, that'd be terrifying.
Did you know that Ace Bailey and Mbako are the same weight? They're both 200 pounds, allegedly. And Mbako's built like a middle linebacker.
I was going to say, isn't he much bigger?
No, it's because he's shorter. This is why I'm trying to tell you. It's just Ace Bailey's is distributed because he's 6'10". Mbaku's only 6'6". I'm lying to you. Mbaku's listed at 6'8". I'm lying to you.
That's what I was going to say. It feels like he's bigger.
Yeah. I don't know. Mbaku's, he definitely looks like someone's nerfing his weight because he looks like he's a lot heavier than 200 pounds. But Ace Bailey, man, 19 years old at draft time. Oh, my goodness. Give me that guy. Sign me up if I'm the San Antonio Spurs. But also, I'm going to veer off topic from the Spurs a little bit. This could pertain to them because they could still potentially pick him. Have you watched the guard from Illinois yet?
Yeah.
I haven't. I haven't got a chance to see him.
Yeah. Real. I watched a couple games of his. He's not bad. He's pretty good.
I mean, his numbers are unbelievable. I can't
say his last game for the life of me. But, he's got good feel for the game. He's got a decent shot. He's competitive as hell. There's some deficiencies that he has, of course. But
yeah, I haven't seen him.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
I'm interested.
Like, he can rebound. He's a very good rebounder for his size. Like,
yeah. Seven rebounds per game, 7 assists per game.
Yeah, no, he's a solid player, man.
That's going to be my next video. If I can get an Illinois game, I'm going to definitely do that. Cause he's very intriguing to me, but even a Derek Queen, somebody to pair with, like Derek Queen next to Wemby. That's disgusting. Derek Queen's disgusting. Would be great, though. He can still shoot it though, but he can shoot.
But the skill that he has, like,
yeah, he's really skilled. He's extremely skilled.
Again, I can't say his name. Casper is. I know I've heard it on broadcast, and I'll botch it. Like, I think he can play off ball to Castle as well. Like,
yeah.
I think the thing with him that I was concerned, at least with when watching him, was just like the ball handling's not great. Like, a little bit of a loose handle. Like, yeah, I know early in the season I didn't see it, but early in the season he had like a really bad problem with turnovers.
Yeah.
Not super explosive. Not a great finisher, at least from the film that I watched. Maybe I'm wrong, because again, like, I've only watched a couple of games of like all these guys. Mm-hmm. These guys were outside the top 5, top 10. Like, I haven't. There's only so much that you can see in a couple of games. Like, you need
for
a
sure
sample of it.
For sure.
But like, he's a good player. Like, again, the shooting, the playmaking, him in the pick and roll, like, his demeanor is something that I like a lot. Like, he's a solid player. Like, he's got a smooth jumper too. Like, he's got range. Like, he's nice. Not afraid to hoist it. So now, yeah, man, like, he'd be someone that, like, again, I think he can play off ball to some extent with Castle.
Mm-hmm.
If you put him next to him, like, if you get him at 10 or whatever, 10 or 15, wherever San Antonio's at, if they're in the lottery, right, or even if they're just outside the lottery, I don't know what his floor is in terms of his, like where he's going to be picked versus where, like, his ceiling. But Tankathon has him 6 right now. I didn't know they had him 6 heading into today, but
yeah, they moved him up.
Trey Johnson, I believe, right?
He did it. Now, that's something that I might have issue with, because the intangibles on Trey Johnson are oozing out of his pores. He is a leader among leaders, and he has elite shot making ability, which is something always coveted in the league. I mean, elite shot making. He's a freshman, 6'6", averaging 23 points a game. His numbers in the SEC are disgusting, dude. Trey Johnson's legit. His efficiency.
We'll see more when SEC play comes.
Oh, absolutely. Let me give you Trey Johnson's numbers real quick. He's shooting 48% from the field, 44% from three, 84% from the foul line. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. Here, let me give you Casper's numbers while we're talking about, like,
yeah,
16 point, or no, that's per 36, excuse me.
Yeah.
14.4 points, 6.5 rebounds, 6.1 assists, 1.5 steals, 48% from the floor, 49% from the floor, 43 from deep, 87 from the free throw line.
Yeah, that's both really are pretty strong.
Good. Both are, again, like San Antonio, just given what they have building, like,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to go wrong in this. And so, like, whether it's Caspers, whether it's Trey Johnson, whether it's Derek Queen, whether it's even, like, I'm just trying to think, like,
that's a lot of turnovers though for for the Illinois kid.
Yeah. Again, that was the biggest problem. Like, not the tightest handle.
Right.
Sometimes decision making, you know, a little bit late, but that's for a freshman, like I can live with that as long as that continues to improve as the season goes on and as his career goes on. And even like, do you think San Antonio could potentially explore like an Asa Newell?
Yeah, Asa Newell could play beside Wemby. Absolutely.
Boogie Fland. I know you don't like him, but like maybe Liam McNeely.
Did you say I don't like Boogie Fland?
Or no, Liam I'm McNeely? Saying
McNeely? No. Yeah, all out on Liam McNeely in the top half of the draft. Nope.
Yeah, there's no room for improvement in your brain.
I mean, he can improve, but from what I've seen, when he's up against good competition, you can see the difference. Like, he's just outclassed. Like,
yeah.
I am not a fan. I mean, we're talking about Con Knipple. Like, we haven't even mentioned him. Like, him or Malawach, like, maybe.
I was just looking outside the top 10.
Yeah. Outside the top 10. Okay, outside the top 10.
And I'm saying outside of the top 10 in Tankathon's big board. Like, it's not...
Right.
It's not our big board.
Right, it's not our big board.
And all these teams, again, like, we're not privy to this information before the draft with all 30 of these teams, but all 30 of them feel different about different players. Like, some teams may have Con Knipple.
Definitely.
One. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen.
Definitely not going to happen.
Some teams might have him like 24 or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Even if you put a player, like Mbako on the Spurs, he's duplicitous to Harrison Ingram, but he's a better version of it.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So, like, yeah, I like where the Spurs are at. I love the pick, Steph Castle. He's my rookie of the year in the NBA. I just think the world of this kid, his intangibles, the two-way ability, the leadership, the fight. And again, he never complains. Like, the fact on draft day that people were like, he says he's a point guard, so he's complaining. Like, that was all over my mentions on YouTube. The kid never complains. Watch him play in games. You never see him complain. Whatever the coach wants him to do, he'll do. Whatever his teammates ask of him, he takes accountability for his own mistakes, and you can count on him when the game is tight to make big plays defensively and take care of the ball. I think the world of the kid. Any closing thoughts on Stephon Castle before we talk a little bit more about other things?
Since entering the starting lineup, I know he didn't enter the starting lineup until his eighth game of the season. Most of that, if not all of that, I believe, has been under Mitch Johnson. I know Popovich, you know, had a stroke. Hopefully he's okay, and hopefully he's recovering well.
Yeah.
That was obviously, like, very sad and unfortunate. But since entering the starting lineup, Stephon Castle's averaging 14.6 points, 2.6 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1.1 steals in 30.5 minutes, shooting 40.3% from the floor, 31% from deep, and then 77.6% from the free throw line. Again, like, I think better splits than what you were getting earlier in the season. Like, just looking at his last, screen bugged out on me. Over his last, like, nine games, again, 16 points, 4.4 assists, 2.7 rebounds on similar efficiency. But again, like, he's getting more opportunity as the season goes on.
Right.
And again, I know earlier in the season he was getting, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night. Now he's getting consistently, like, 30 plus. Like, I just think that shows the level of trust that they have in him already and just where he's at from a developmental standpoint, what they want. And so obviously that's something to be very encouraging to see again. I don't expect the efficiency to be that low again. Now that he's getting up, you know, 10, 11, 12 plus shots a night as a rookie, like, I'm not expecting it to be super duper high already, especially for a guy who wasn't, like, a great, great shooter in college. But again, he does all the little things. Like, you don't need him to shoot, you know, 35-40% from deep right away. Like, that's not something that you need right now. Like, he does all the little things. He impacts winning in so many different ways that you just kind of look at that and be like, all right, I can trust that'll improve over time, whether it's, you know, game 40 or, you know, the end of the season or even heading into a sophomore season, whatever the case is. Like, I think you'll see like his efficiency improve from where it's at right now that he's getting all this opportunity. And again, to your point earlier, like everything that he's tasked to do on the defensive end, like it's going to eat at you a little bit.
So. Yeah. It's just one of those things you can't prepare for until you've gone through it. The toll that it takes on your legs playing in the NBA, all of those minutes guarding the best players, like to guard Stephen Curry as a rookie is a daunting task for anyone. And exactly. He did it just as well as anybody could have done it, if not better. So, yeah, I'm very encouraged. I'm not worried about his, you know, percentages right now. There's going to be plenty of room for growth during the season and after the season on the offensive end. But one thing I want to point out about Steph Castle that really sticks out to me in my mind is in a game. I can't remember exactly which game, but it was late in the game. Chris Paul is bringing the ball down the court. And Castle said in an interview, he thought Paul was trying to tell him to clear out so he could go to work. But he was like, no, I want you to take this shot. Late in the game with the game on the line, Steph slips the pick, dives to the rim. Paul hits him with the ball, gets to the line and one. And just a big moment for a rookie and for a veteran to recognize this kid's special. I trust this kid. I want the ball in his hands in this situation. I just think that's a perfect microcosm of that. And then also the big steals he gets. I remember one game he turned the ball over late in the game, didn't put his head down, got back on defense and got a steal, got the ball back. Just a sign of maturity. It's just a sign of a player that understands winning and how and wants to win. But mm-hmm. I really do appreciate everybody's stopping by right now. We're going to continue to talk Steph Castle, but we're also going to talk about some other things around the league. There is some news that may have happened that was reported on the Five Reasons Sports Network by Ethan Skolnick. There was a report by Shams Online, and that was that Jimmy Butler is open to opting out at the end of the season and not re-signing with the Miami Heat and opting in. It's also been floated by other reporters that the Heat may be listening. Now, we're not going to talk about the Miami Heat here. This is a different type of show. But we're going to talk about other teams that could use his services potentially. San Antonio was among one of them that may be looking for his services if they think they can win this year. So we'll start with San Antonio and we'll move to a couple of different teams. Is that a feasible scenario where you feel that they could use his services to make a playoff push?
Not yet.
Not yet. What are they? They're like 10. What are they? 12-10 on the season. What are they? What's their record?
The Heat or the Spurs?
Spurs. Remember, this is from a Spurs point of view. We're not talking Heat. We're talking the other team's points of views.
You don't want to talk about Khloé Ware? No.
How's he doing, by the way? He's back with the big club.
Yeah, he's back. He's back with the big dogs. San Antonio's 12-12.
12-12.
Just outside of the play-in, Phoenix and Minnesota are 12-11. Tied for the ninth seed, and then the Lakers are 13-11. Nuggets are 12-10. They're on the cusp of it. Like they're only a game back of Denver, and they're 1.5 games back of the Clippers, who are the sixth seed. So like, it's a tight crunch there.
Yeah, I just can't see them pulling a trigger on giving up that draft capital if they're not sure they're ready to compete for a championship.
Listen, man, if you're willing to give me a 2030 swap, again, I know it's something 20, like
2030.
Fine with it. I'm fine with it.
So what other teams do we think that could be a possible player in this market? We've got Golden State. We've got Houston.
Golden State, Houston, and Dallas were all three of those were linked to Jimmy.
But what do they have to give up, though? Like Dallas doesn't have much, right?
Well, it would have to start with like Clay. Like that's kind of the financial situation. Like, just to give you a perspective, like all three of those teams are hard capped.
Oh my goodness.
Meaning they can't exceed the first apron. Dallas and Golden State are like less than a million away from the first apron. So like you're going to have to, it's going to be really hard to navigate that part of
right.
it. Just because like, it's going to have to be a three or four team trade. It might have to be one anyway.
Right.
So those teams are really, really close to the first apron. Houston has more flexibility, obviously, with the young players there. Like, it could be – it's probably going to – like, in terms of money, it's probably, like, Dylan Brooks, and then you might be able to squeak out, like, a Jabari Smith, maybe. That's a kind of a long shot.
Dylan Brooks makes me ill.
Listen, man, sometimes you got to do business. Like, Tari Eason's name, like, that I've seen floated around the interwebs. I don't know if they would ship him.
Yeah.
I don't think they would part with Amen yet, but just watching his athleticism would be pretty fun.
Ooh, he's one of my favorites from that 2023 draft. One of my favorites.
Like, they have some young players, and then I believe they have a bunch of picks that they can give up to. I don't know exactly like what years or who they are part of or whatnot, but I think I remember seeing like they have a ton of draft capital. So like, to me, they feel like the likeliest option if you're just looking at it. Like, I don't know if Memphis is going to be involved in that mix. Feels like I've said it for years. I've said this for like last two or three years. Like, Memphis is a consolidation trade away.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would explore the Jimmy Butler race.
Sweepstakes.
Yeah, sweepstakes, if you can even call it a sweepstakes.
I've got the Rockets picks up here. They've got a lot.
Yeah.
2025, they have their own first round pick. They have KC or Brooklyn protected 1 through 10 swap. 2026 Brooklyn's unprotected pick. 2026.
Oh, I might want that.
Yeah, right.
I might want that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Nets for some reason just don't know how to tank, and they've won 10 games.
Right.
I'm guessing that'll change at some point, but like, I don't know how much of the, like, as of right now, they're not really in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
Right.
Surprisingly, like, it's like Washington, Toronto, New Orleans.
Well, Washington's in straight tank mode.
Like, Utah's another one. Right, like, right. But I don't know how much Brooklyn's in that. So, like, I think that they're going to sell off pieces at the deadline. They might try to tank their way back into the, like, you know, outside of the play-in. Obviously, again, we've praised, you know, the top five, top 10 of this upcoming class. They might be bad again next year. They might just want to enter the bench or at least tank for, like, that's a pick that I might want, but that will also be a pick that they don't want to give up. So
I have to agree. The real quick about the Washington Wizards I find funny is that Kyle Kuzma was hurt. Jordan Poole was hurt. Coulibaly, Bob Carrington, Sar. The young guys were balling. They were winning a couple of games. They were looking decent. In comes Jordan Poole and his 45% usage rate, chucking every shot he sees, putting up terrific numbers while doing it. And they lose every single game. Like, they're terrible.
Someone's got to get 25. No.
It's actually a universal truth in the NBA. That is right. Somebody has to get 25.
Someone's got to get it.
So I want to update our poll question. Will Steph Castle win Rookie of the Year in the NBA? 33% of the audience says yes. 67% of the audience says no. I'm curious of who their Rookie of the Year is going to be.
I probably should know this because
I can pull up the rookie ladder.
I was going to say, like, isn't McCain still the favorite? Like, betting favorite?
Yeah, I think he is. I'm not the betting type, so I wouldn't know betting favorite, but I can check the NBA rookie ladder real quick. Done by one Steve Ashburner. And let's see, who's his top? Yeah, Jared McCain, he still has on top. Averaging 15.2 points per game, 2 rebounds per game, 2.5 assists per game. I mean, they're great numbers. It is looter in a riot situation, being that he's like their only offense for a long time since Embiid's out, Maxey was out, like, tons of people were out. Jalen Wells, surprisingly, he has at number two, 11 points per game, 11 and a half points per game, 3.1 rebounds per game, 1.6 assists per game. And then Dalton Connect, Zachary Risiche, the dinosaur that is Zach Edey. And then at number six, Stephon Castle. That's way too low. Way too low. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
If you're just looking at it, I'm looking at it from a betting perspective. It goes McCain, Connect, Castle, Risiche, Misi, Sar, Wells, Edey, Buzelis.
Yeah, I like that a lot more because I was going to say, how is Eve Misi at number eight? Like, that's box score watching at its finest. Like, there's no way Eve Misi should be number eight in that scenario. You know who they have at who Ashburner has at number 10? Shaboy. Ryan Dunn.
I thought you were going to say Larson.
No, it's your boy, Ryan Dunn.
I was thinking in my head, I was like, are you serious right now?
Nah, it's definitely not Pelle Larson, but it is Ryan Dunn. That is Matt Hanifin's favorite. He watches every single Phoenix Suns game. Can't help himself but bathe in the Ryan Dunn experience.
10-time All-Star, 10-time first-team All-NBA.
That's right.
Forward Ryan Dunn.
That's right. He was shooting like 45% to start the season. Every GM was going crazy. I need to get the next Ryan Dunn. Invariably, somebody probably still will. They'll probably see that and be like, but Ryan Dunn shot 45% to start the season. He's going to be great. And they're going to draft an all-defensive guy that can't shoot.
Yeah, they're going to draft. Someone's going to draft like Drake Powell or something. That's
right.
It's like this guy, I swear to God, I saw Ryan Dunn do this last
year. Audu Thoreau. That's it. That's who they're going to get.
Hey, listen, man. You want to? We'll save this for when we do our stage show. You want to talk about a battering ram? Goodness.
We'll leave it there. We're gonna save it for the stage show. He's also shooting 21% from three.
Dude is a linebacker.
Yeah, he plays football on a basketball court. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what I mean is going to happen. There's going to be a GM. It's going to see what Ryan does was early in the season and say, I can fix him. If we could just fix his shot, and he's going to end up being Matisse Thybulle. There's all kind of examples. That
Drake Powell is shooting 38.9% from deep. So maybe I'm too harsh on him.
You might be a little too harsh on Drake Powell.
Yeah. Two attempts a game.
It's not great at, you know, usage or attempts, but it's better than point. What is that? Who's that one guy we talked about? He has like 1.1 attempts per game. Talked about him earlier today, but
I don't remember who you're talking about.
I know. My brain's not working. Hold on. I think it might be the guy from Illinois. No, he attempts 5 of them per game.
Are you talking like Derek Queen?
It might have been Derek.
I was going to say he's not the known defensive big.
I don't think it was Derek Queen. I don't think I would have been looking for elite 3-point shooting from Derek Queen. No, he attempts it twice, 2 a game. Surprisingly.
Yeah, he was getting him up against Purdue.
Shooting 13%.
His first 2 3-point makes came in that game.
I mean, 13% is all you need to know.
He was feeling it, man.
He was feeling it.
He was feeling it against Purdue. Listen, man, I don't make. He was feeling it against Purdue. He checked.
He's a good player.
I guess if you're just talking about like a defensive first player that has some offensive upside, like Edgecombe, but he's like a consensus top 5, top 10 guy.
You know, the strangest thing I saw on Twitter was Galvani described him as having a nice feel for the game.
Oh, Jonathan Givony?
Yeah, Givony. I was like, huh? Have you been watching him play? He does not have a nice feel for the game. It's like one of his biggest weaknesses. He can't control his own body. He's too athletic.
I was gonna, though, I think the one area where I can maybe see what he's saying is like what we talked about during the stage, like some of the like pick and roll reps and stuff that he had. I was like, okay, yeah. Like may I can see something there, but it wasn't, they didn't go to it a lot, and I don't think it's been consistent throughout this season. So that's like the one thing that I could.
Well, let me ask you this though, because you're a writer. Would a word to describe that as a nice feel for the game? No, you said the word flashes just now. There are flashes. You said he has some flashes of things he may be able to do. There were flashes. There is no nice feel for the game. He's a freaking Dodge Challenger as your first car you've learned to drive on.
Freaking he was watching Dodge the Sam Houston tape where he had 7 assists to 0 turnovers.
There it is. One game. Sam Houston. Super high level competition. Let's get it. Aggregate it. But that's it for me, man. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I really appreciate everybody. Crystal Kendall, really appreciate you subscribing. Don't forget to become a channel member for only $2.99. Get access to all of our breakdowns early. We super duper appreciate everybody that's watched today and made this such a great experience on the podcast live. You can find this anywhere podcasts are found. Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify. It won't be out until the following day because of YouTube. Takes forever to process these. I do love you, YouTube. Don't nerf me. But it just takes a whole day for them to process these. So I'll download them. We're going to do these every Tuesday and Thursday. We're going to do it live for you guys. So really appreciate you. Matt, tell these people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At NPH_A24_, that's where you can find me at on Twitter. You can find me at HotHotHoops.com. You can find me at VendettaSportsMedia.com. You can also find me at MountainWestConnection.com. In addition to WatchPlayBack.TV/5RSN, where Adele and myself and others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network talk about the Heat, watch the Heat, complain about the Heat, cry about the Heat, maybe not that. Smile about the Heat, laugh at Thomas Bryant threes. I mean, what? Yeah, man, I'm everywhere.
Well, real quick, before you get out of here, there was a report by the Spurs reporter I follow on Twitter. He retweeted, I think it was a team that has lost 2 centers. I forget which team. And they're in need of center help. And so my reply was, can I interest you in a gently used Thomas Bryant? Do you think anybody would take the bait on a gently used Thomas Bryant? And if so, what would they give you?
Second round picks, baby.
I'll take them. I'll take them.
They're giving you a high five with
a crisp high five. That's right.
Yeah, crisp high five with a Big Mac from McDonald's. If that's something you like, or maybe like a Caesar salad or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tough sledding. Trade value isn't high. Yeah, that's probably about it.
All right. Well,
if a team wants to hard cap themselves and give Miami Heat some
one
cash considerations, the greatest player on planet Earth, be my guest.
Best backup center of all time.
I'm not going to be a GM for another team. All right?
Thomas Bryant can do more in 1.9 seconds at the end of a half than anybody in the NBA. It just may come after the buzzer has sounded.
And he might get blocked at the rim.
Almost assuredly, but that is it for me today, guys. I'll see you next time.